Good news. My new book is finally here. It's called Handbook for the Heartbroken, A Woman's Path from Devastation to Rebirth, and you can order it now wherever books are sold. I wrote this book after the five-year span between 2016 and 2020 when I experienced serial heartbreaks that rocked literally every area of my life, my health, relationships, money, career, social status, and even my very sense of self. And along the way, I really got to experience firsthand how dysfunctional our culture's relationship is to loss. I saw how we live in a heartbreak illiterate world that's obsessed with success and shackled with isolation and ignorant of how valuable our suffering can be for our growth and our evolution, not only as individuals, but also as a collective. So this book expands the conversation around loss beyond just breakups and bereavement, although we definitely cover those too, in order to include falls from grace of all kinds, personal, professional, and collective. So whether you're experiencing hardship now, or know you have past hurts that are holding you back in certain ways and still need healing, this book is here to support you. It's also a great book to gift to clients, family members, friends, just other women in your world who are going through a challenging time. It will show you that it's only through fully turning toward your heartbreak with support, courage, and compassion that you can heal. So within the loving pages of this book, you will have full permission to fall apart and slowly, organically find your way back to greater wholeness. I'm truly excited to share this with you. It was not a joy to live this journey, but it really was a joy to write it. And you can find it again wherever books are sold, and the audio version of the book is available as well. If you would like some gifts to accompany you on your heartbreak journey, you can get those at handbookfortheheartbroken.com. Those are free. Whenever you order books, you can just send in your invoice or your receipt, and we'll send you those accompanying gifts. Enjoy.
Hello, sisters. Welcome to She Talks, a space for you to come home to your inner wisdom, which I call your she. I'm Sarah Von Stover, a teacher of feminine spirituality and empowerment, best-selling author, and founder of The Way of the Happy Woman. Over the next week, I'll publish a couple of seasonal episodes, each sharing some feminine wisdom, meant to inspire and educate you in a fun and portable way during all of your summer excursions to the beach, on a hike, at the gym, or my favorite here in Colorado by the pool. I'm sharing these episodes in celebration of our upcoming She Yoga and Meditation Teacher Training, which is open for early registration right now. And this week-long training and practice intensive in women's yin and flow yoga, Buddhist meditation, and Shi Dharma helps women to deepen their own practice and then go on to teach and inspire the women in their own communities. And yes, we'll have plenty of pool time there too. So throughout this week-long program on the tropical island of my old homeland, Koh Samui, Thailand, I'll offer intimate, personalized attention to each woman who joins us, teaching the very women's yoga and meditation practices that have inspired and transformed me and the lives of thousands of women around the world over the past 20 years. Plus, if you join us before July 21st, you'll receive a $500 early bird discount, as well as the chance to sign up with a 6-month payment plan. It's pretty cool. So if you're curious and want to learn more, you can visit sheyogatraining.com. And for now, pull up a chaise lounge, soak up the view, feel the sun on your skin, and enjoy. Hello, beautiful women. It is a steamy, steamy afternoon here in Boulder, Colorado. My air conditioner is running full tilt as it has for the past weeks, and I'm not sure how it ended up being the middle of July already, but here in Colorado, at this time of year, it's when things start to get really dry and brown and quite crispy. So amidst my stickiness here, I am really looking forward to sharing today's conversation with you. It's a conversation that I haven't brought to our podcast before. It's a conversation with two women who are part of our community. And both of these women are up to really cool things in the world in the realms of women's spirituality and empowerment. So I'm excited for you to learn about them and what they're doing. And they both recently joined the She Yoga and Meditation Teacher Training that took place this past April in Calistoga, California. So I'm talking with these women about their experiences at that training and how their experience has helped them as women and also in their work, in their businesses. So the first woman is just a longtime contributor to our community, Jennifer Rasiopi. And I love Jen's work. You know, we've connected professionally for years. She was a guest teacher in my course, Reversing Our Curse, about healing our cycles. And we've also done fun things together, like we've gone to a student concert and a Beyoncé concert. And she invited me to New York City to teach a retreat for her community. And she's an all-around awesome woman. She's also a kick-ass astrologer, a holistic health counselor, a success coach, a Duke-certified integrative health coach who blends her expertise in business, positive psychology, and women's health to coach high-achieving women reach their next level of success. And she specializes in lunar logic, which integrates the deep wisdom of both science and astrology, helping women build a foundation of resilience, step into their authentic leadership, and stay faithful to their dreams. And I absolutely adore Jen's motto, which is success isn't a rhythm. Sorry, I got that backwards. Success isn't a race, it's a rhythm. Very cool. And that's exactly what we're all about here at The Way of the Happy Woman as well. So you can learn more about Jen on her website, jenniferrasiopi.com, and the link to that is in the show notes. Encourage you to check her out, especially her Instagram account. She shares really insightful and interesting updates about what's going on with this lunar astrology for us as women. So Jen's here to share about her experience in the training. It was great to have her there. And we also have Michelle Long, and I just recently met Michelle, and I'm getting ready to teach at her retreat center in the Bay Area in California later this month. And Michelle is the founder of The Practice, which is a feminine yoga and spiritual practice based on connection and sisterhood. She's also the founder of Bloom Retreat, a yoga studio and wholeness center just for women in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she's been teaching yoga since 2003, has a master's degree in holistic health education, and has served and taught thousands of women in her studio since 2012. She's a wife and a mother who has lived through her share of hardships, which shape her teaching philosophy for women. And her intention is to build communities of women where they are safe to unravel and show up just as they are, perfectly imperfect. All right, so it's a rich conversation. As you can tell, these women are really up to some cool things in the world, and I'm excited to share with you what we uncovered as we spoke together. So enjoy.
All right, hello, beautiful women, and welcome to this roundtable discussion that we're having. Like a virtual tea date with two women that I really admire and appreciate on different coasts, and you'll be hearing from them in a moment. But I've never done something like this where I've spoken live and had a conversation with women who participated in one of my trainings or retreats, and I'm just looking forward to this conversation and having more of a way for those of you who haven't joined me for a retreat to learn more about it and to really hear from the kinds of women who participate in them. So Jen and Michelle welcome.
Thank you.
As you both know, we always start our gatherings with a check-in, and checking in with these different dimensions of ourselves, our bodies, our hearts, and our minds. And I would love for each of us to take some moments to share where we are in the world and how we're doing at those different dimensions. So, Jen, do you want to start us out?
Sure. Yeah, checking in with my body. My body's doing well. It's a little sore. I did a really wonderful Pilates class yesterday, so I'm just taking it easy today, doing some recovery. And I think that is a metaphor for my life and my heart right now, which is it's very full and it's very worked, but in a positive way, in a resilient way, in a way that feels good. And my mind is excited to engage in this conversation with you ladies. It was so fun being in Calistoga with you guys and at this training. So it's really a joy to have this chance to chat about it.
Thank you, Jen.
And I would say spiritually, I'm pretty available too.
Sorry, I cut you off there. Is there anything else you want to add, Jen?
No.
I'm not used to doing these calls with three people. It's like a different kind of a rhythm. Okay. Michelle.
Yeah, I'm in Walnut Creek right now, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, East Bay. And it's really hot here. It's been in the hundreds the past few days, and it's like a dry, hot heat. So my body's feeling kind of done with that. I've been trying to get in the pool and just feel water and anything I can to kind of bring down the heat that I'm feeling. My heart also feels really full. I'm working on a lot of passion projects right now that feel so fulfilling and aligned with my highest good and my soul. So that all feels really good. But my mind feels like it needs more space. It's like that fullness brings a bit of restlessness just because there's so much happening that I'm constantly really trying to figure out how to create more space and stay grounded in all of the motion and movement. But overall, I'm feeling really good, and I'm honored to be here with you, Sarah and Jen, and tap back into the feeling that I experienced in Calistoga and share that with more women.
Thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And this is Sarah, and my body is a little sweaty right now. It's very hot here in Boulder, Colorado, very hot and dry. And I've really gotten into spinning classes these past couple of months. And there's a particular teacher on Monday mornings that I really like. And she does pretty intense rides, but she's just very inspirational. And I just wrote a blog post about her last week called Push, Push, Push. And so I did a class with her this morning, and it's just a great way to start the week. It puts me in a really good mood. And yeah, my heart is feeling happy and expansive. I also have some new projects just in their kind of seed stages that I feel really excited about. And my heart also feels warm to be connecting with both of you here. And my mind is, I don't know, it's a really full week. So I'm getting ready to go on vacation and to travel and teach for a week. So there's always a lot to do at home before I go away. And so my mind is just making sure that there's a little slot of time to do all those different things. Okay, so we'll dive in. And I know that you each felt called to join the She Yoga and Meditation Teacher Training that happened in Calistoga, California this past April. And I'm wondering, what was that particular calling or longing that led you to finally register? Because it's a big investment of money and time and energy, and it takes a leap, you know, to feel a calling and then to actually go through and to say, yes, I'm going to do this. So, Jen, do you want to start? And just as for all of us, before we speak, let's say our name so that we can all just keep track of who's speaking.
Sure, I'll jump in. So this is Jen, and I didn't say it, but I'm on the East Coast in upstate New York. And, you know, when I saw your beautiful offering last summer, Sarah, when you launched it, it actually didn't take me very long to decide that I was going to do it. I read the whole page, and I got to the bottom of it, and I was like, ooh, I need to be there. And then, of course, it maybe took me like another week to like sit with it, and then, you know, obviously sign up was the next step. But I think instinctively, I already knew that I was meant to be there. And then maybe my ego took about a week to make sure that I could afford it and it made sense and all those things. But my heart decided, just reading the description, and it decided, because it was what I needed, you know, it was pretty easy to choose it, given that my heart and my body was longing for an experience of yoga and conscious community in the way that you put it together. I would say for me, I'm not a practicing yoga teacher. It's not how I make my money. It's not how I spend my time. And actually, as a matter of fact, when I signed up for the class, I wasn't even a practicing yogini. I had taken a massive step back from my practice. While my practice was a fundamental part of my life for a decade plus, I had taken a sabbatical from practicing for health reasons and just other explorations. So, you know, as a non-yoga teacher, it was curious as to signing up for a yoga teacher training, but I just knew in my heart that I was going to get a transmission that was necessary for me to receive at that particular time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. What did you feel like you needed at that particular time? What was it that your heart was saying, like, yes, I need this?
You know, I mean, as you so eloquently say, there are many different reasons for yoga. Sometimes yoga is for healing, and sometimes yoga is for fitness, and sometimes yoga is for self-realization. And I needed all three. I needed a practice that was going to help me feel stronger physically. I needed to change my practice so it became my medicine rather than my routine. And always on the path, I needed to meet myself and greet myself and create space for her to come in to serve the end of just knowing myself. And I think that yoga teacher training and meditation training is crafted to be that, to be a physical experience, an emotional experience, a medicinal experience, but ultimately one that is integrated into a deeper awareness and expansion of self.
Thank you, Jen. How about you, Michelle? What was the calling or the longing that led you to say yes?
Yeah. I remember last summer, it was like this time, or early August. No, it was late August, actually, because I was on vacation and I was reading the Book of She. And reading it, just finally, I felt like somebody was speaking my language. Like I was just resonating so much with your book and your words and your intention for your teachings. And that I immediately knew, I knew I needed to somehow connect more with you and your teachings. And so I went to your website and immediately the training popped up, but it said on the bottom that it was sold out. And I had read through the copy and I was like, oh my God, more, 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 please. And something in me told me just to reach out to you guys anyways, even though it said it was sold out. And I got an email back a few days later saying that there was in fact a spot and that I could jump in. And so like Jen, it was more of, it was just like an intuition, a trust that I needed to be there. There wasn't a lot of thought beyond that. Just, it was like green light, yes. And then my ego jumped in there too and tried to talk me out of it a little bit, but there was a deeper sense of knowing that I needed to be there. And I think my longing is and has been for a long time, and that's part of what the gift the training gave me, is I own a women-only yoga studio in the Bay Area, and I've been teaching only to women for many years now. But there's just not many women teachers speaking directly to women, and I've felt a lot of frustration over the past several years because, you know, like 90% of yoga practitioners are women, yet we're not trained to actually speak to the woman and fully understand who she is and what she's going through. And so it was just so refreshing to find somebody that was speaking to the woman, speaking to me, and then gave me that liberty to go deeper into what it is I'm doing with my women. And so I think my longing was just wanting to be around a community and a thought leader like you, Sarah, who is, again, speaking to the woman through the yoga language.
Thank you. And I love how you both represent these kind of different poles. Like, Jen, you're not a yoga teacher, but you serve women in a very deep way. And Michelle, you do use the medium of yoga as your means of working with women. And you also, you know, are offering a beautiful service as well. So, and I found in my own life, and I've also witnessed this in the women that I work with, that our journey really starts when we register for the program or the retreat. And so it's not just what happens during the week that we're there, but everything that kind of comes into motion from the time that we commit. And I'm wondering if from the time that you joined last summer until the training in April, and it's like a 9-month gap, what was the journey like for you during those months? Whoever feels called to share first can just chime in.
This is Jen. You know, I agree that whenever we sign up for a retreat or a workshop, that the journey begins the moment that we say yes. And, you know, I mean, I found everything about being at the She Yoga Teacher Training to be very nurturing. And I would say that, you know, it's hard to say that the 9 months before this retreat were, you know, just one note. They weren't. They're arranged, right? And knowing that I had that in the future on my calendar definitely gave me this point of focus, almost like a drishti in and of itself, something to look toward, a point of culmination. I also really appreciated the simplicity of knowing that there was this destination, something I was moving towards, point of culmination, a point of reflection to be building with. And then even like just quite practically, the payment plans were super, you know, easy, knowing that we were going to consistently pay one sum till then. I don't know, it just felt organized in that way on a personal standpoint. But I would say on a deeper emotional, psychological plane, I had gotten right before I signed up for this, maybe 3 months before I signed up for this, I had had a serious osteoporosis diagnosis that riveted me because I was in a really long forward bending posture doing a yin practice on my own, and I stood up and my back just wasn't okay, and it hadn't been for a few weeks after that. And then I realized that I could no longer do these long forward bending poses because they were contraindicated to osteoporosis, which for me is a side effect of menopause, which is a side effect of having had gynecological cancer much earlier in my life. And so I was really in a place of dishevelment, to be totally honest, because my yoga practice, which was my medicine, had now become this thing that was not so easy for me to understand how to practice. So knowing that I had signed up for this, I felt like, okay, I had taken a big step in the direction of my self-care and a big step in the direction of me figuring out what my practice was going to be and where my practice was heading. And so I do want to say that there was like a sense of peace of mind just about the whole thing, even though obviously 9 months leading up to it weren't in totality just peaceful, but having made the choice, I felt anchored and rooted. For sure.
Thanks, Shen. How about you, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm really sitting with that question. And I think for me, it was more subtle, like that in my saying yes, which was like an intuitive yes, I really hadn't followed you much before at all. So there wasn't a lot for me to go by except your book, which was amazing, and the copy on the website. And so it was just like full surrender to a larger calling to be there. And there was something telling me that there was a gift there for me. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I'll get clarity after that. Like, there will be clarity after that. I don't even know what that was. You know, I mean, I didn't know at the time what that was, but there was a sense that something was coming that I would get there. And so it was more, you're kind of like what Jen's saying, having that drishti, like that was there and I knew something would come, and it did. So it was more subtle and reassuring, mm-hmm. knowing it was there waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. And the next thing I wanted to talk about, and Michelle, we'll just stay with you, is the next question is, what do you all feel like were some of the biggest shifts? Like, once you were there and you participated in the training, the biggest shifts you experienced as a result of being in it. And Michelle, you're saying that, you know, you felt like something was going to happen. What was it that happened for you?
Yeah, I think I've been on my own personal journey for a lot of years now, like I said, owning a women's only yoga studio and being in a unique position to teach just women. And what's happened for me in my experience here is that women started to reveal to me how they needed to be taught and what they needed to be taught. And it came through me and was revealed to me. And but it was things I have never been taught before in my past teacher trainings or spiritual teachers, where the lineages were they were masculine, they were male. And for several years, I was kind of like wrestling with myself, like, this can't be yoga, or this can't be right. Like, that was a big thing, like, or that I don't have the permission to talk about yoga in a different way or speak to this from a different place. And so just in my own personal unraveling in my own career and teaching, the gift that I got several gifts, but one of them really being reflected back was there is a huge community of women who want this work. And there's people like you, Sarah, who are really holding the torch and guiding the way for us to open to a different way of doing yoga, of living, and of leading, really. And so it was validating for me that I'm okay. What I'm doing is okay. I'm not, you know, because I hadn't been taught in this way, if that makes sense. So it was validating, and I found my own permission there to really just dive so much deeper into what I already know to be true for myself. And there was something there about being quiet, which was so important. The essential silence that you offer there was a huge gift for me to just drop in to my own space. And I struggled with that the first couple of days. I think I remember you, Sarah, saying, like, you're going to fight this. You're not going to like it at the beginning. You're going to, or you'll, there will be one point in the week where you're going to, like, shit's going to hit the fan and you're not going to want to be here or something to that regard. And I think it happened for me like on the second day, and I was like, oh, screw this. Like, I don't want to be here. What is this? I don't want to do it. And as soon as I released that and just dropped into myself and that quiet space out there, just like everything started to shift for me. It was just like light bulbs went off and I could hear my own voice and I could feel myself again. That combined with the reflection I was getting back from you and the community of women, was just a huge opening for me.
And Michelle, you spoke to, you know, women in owning your studio. Women have started to speak to you about what they needed, how they wanted to be taught, and that you started offering things that you hadn't been taught. Like, can you name what some of those qualities are?
Yeah, like, for one thing, I spent a long time, like, just asking questions about who these women are and creating a language the way I teach to meet them. Like, in yoga, there we don't actually speak a lot, or we're not given the language to talk to the woman and her unique experiences. I think you even said at some point, like, talking about breasts in class, like, we don't, in a typical class, have the liberty or permission to go there, to these other places. So really finding that language and just coming from like a softer, more feminine place, not so rigid, but more open and intuitive and inviting. Does that make sense? And really from a place of connection and sisterhood, and that, like, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And how was it for you being in a group of women and also holding this essential silence, like being part of a community but being silent within the community?
Yeah, Jen and I were partners many times, I think, right, Jen?
If anything.
Yep. I loved it. And I think I said at the end, when we could finally talk again, that the connection was profound with other women, even though we weren't talking. It was like I felt like I knew deeply so many of the women in the room, even though we didn't, like, have chit-chat or the normal conversations that we would have, it felt deeper. So there was definitely magic that happened in the silence, and connection can happen so deeply just being present with each other in that space. It was really magical in that way. And I loved it also because I'm actually really introverted. And so I need quiet. And it was so refreshing for me to be at a training or retreat where that was built in, and I didn't have to feel the pressures of having to be on and talk all the time and, you know, social and those things, because it's as an introvert, that can be challenging for me.
Thank you. And Jen, how about for you? We'll start with how it was to be in silence in a community of women.
You know, I mean, I think silence is so under-practiced and so undervalued, and yet so medicinal. A little awkward at first, of course, because everyone wants to, even though we're not talking, make eye contact and smile and reassure one another that we see them and we like them, you know, that sort of social nicety of being in community. And when you're not talking, it's like those are, well, then how do you reflect one another back to one another? And then as the week goes on, you know, it's like we all just take permission. It's like, oh, I'm not responsible for being your reflection, and you're not responsible for being my reflection. And I just need to be. I thought it was really interesting, Sarah, when you encouraged us to stop writing in our journal, if we normally process a lot in our journal, you know, to maybe try something else and just be and have a lot more presence and slow down the thoughts rather than indulge the thoughts. And so when you had said that, that's when my like, oh shit, handle got pulled, because I was just like really feeling the journaling. I was really into it. And I was like, well, I'm gonna go with it. I'll give it up, you know? And that's when it got awkward for me, because I was like, is this productive? I could be journaling. You know, my ego really had its way there for a hot moment. But to just really settle was and is so hard to do. And I think that that's what makes retreat so special, is that it's a practice in settling. And, you know, and even if the settling is something totally different, like Michelle, I know that you had like a lot of strong intuition that came through, like a knowing and a sense of needing to process. And I think that silence allows for that. And for me, it was silence just took me deeper. It took me deeper into a feeling of safety, a feeling of security, a feeling of containment, and trust that everyone else was taken care of, you know, by the retreat center, taken care of by themselves, and that it was okay, you know, for me to just focus on me and my breath and this moment. And as a woman who wears many hats and has a full life and a cell phone, that isn't always the easiest thing to do. So I thought it was really precious.
And Jen, what, in addition to that, what do you feel like were some of the biggest shifts that you experienced by participating in that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would just say at the top level, high level, the silence was part of that. That was just like, it was a recalibration of my nervous system that needed to happen. It was almost just like I had like a massive IV of magnesium or something that just was like sedating to my nervous system so that I could do some deeper healing through sleep and asana posture and meditation. But I mean, on a much bigger level, and that's not to say that that's not big, because it's huge. That alone is worth the cost of admission. But on a metaphysical level, a spiritual level, and a philosophical level, what happened for me is that I redefined what yoga was, you know, and I came up in yoga in a male-dominated lineages, like all of us, and yoga for me meant Ashtanga, or Ashtanga-infused vinyasa practices, and while I had been practicing more hatha-based poses as well, and actually my teacher training was in that, just more of a Kripalu-style yoga, and I had been practicing yin yoga, really my affinity really lied in a more Ashtanga-based style of yoga. And I had assumed certain things meant yoga, right? Assumed certain ways of practicing meant yoga, certain omissions meant yoga. And this gave me a new definition of what yoga is and how I want to practice it. And one being, you know, the reintegration of my sexuality and my yoga practice has helped me so much. And I think not knowing that that's why I was signing up, because there were so many reasons why I signed up. But I would say my biggest takeaway is knowing how to better relax my vaginal walls and relax my whole hora, and consequently be way more open sexually in my marriage, which was always strong to begin with, but really just in my own center. My practice had always been really gripping, I would say, like really intense, always on the edge of what I was capable of, and hence made me tight, ironically. And redefining yoga for myself through what I would call is like one of the words, the phrases that came through to me was in reflection of this practice was this was more like a mystic rebels gathering. Like we were doing yoga, but it was like the feminine rebel version of yoga, meaning throw the world out the window and let's get down to basics, like what do our bodies need, and opened up to this mystical experience through that. And I've really, really, really taken that forward in my own life and in my own practice. And coincidentally, like just last week, practiced with one of my older teachers that was of high influence to me, and practiced in my way in her class. She noticed it, and she just was like, yeah, that's happening. And it was like, no big deal, you know, like no big deal. It's like yoga still goes on. But my body has a different memory and a different experience and a different practice because of this work, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so Jenny, you spoke to some of the shifts that you've been experiencing since mm-hmm. the retreat and how that's impacting your work in the world, the women you are in your home life and in your home community. And you're talking about this mystic rebels gathering. I love that. And just bringing the sexuality, you know, outside of your marriage and just feeling just less constricted in your center. And can you speak more about how some of these things are impacting your work and your life?
Yeah. Well, I'm a firm believer that I can take women as far as I've gone, meaning mm-hmm. I have to live it to my bones. You talked about this as well. Like I have to really live it and understand it. And so much of my work is, I don't know, it's very personal, it's very transpersonal, but my practice becomes the foundation of how I show up. And though that doesn't mean my yang practice and my yin practice necessarily, though that's a part of it, it really just means how I'm cultivating myself. And so this gave me a window into how I was cultivating myself, and ultimately that impacts everything I do. And so as a woman coach and an astrologer, this has been transmitted through my programs with my clients so much. Certainly the meditation piece was understated for me prior to this. I would always do meditation after asana, and it never even occurred to me to do meditation first. And then if I was really full on asana, I'd skip the meditation. And I'm certainly not the billboard of a perfect meditator by any means. Post the training, I'm still a flawed human. And I think whenever we go take our practice to the next level, there's an up-leveling, and this certainly helped me do that. But I think it just comes back to I can take people as far as I've gone. I can understand them to the level I've pushed the boundaries within myself to understand me. And the deeper I have more compassion and understanding for where I'm restricted and holding back, that's more compassion and an understanding I can have for my clients. I don't teach yoga. I haven't ruled it out. I'm actually considering doing a women's yoga class in the near future, but it's not my calling card in and of itself. It has profoundly supported me as a coach. And I would also say, you know, as someone who's in the helping field, meaning I support other women as part of my main job description, wow, how nice it is to really put my own oxygen mask on in this way and give myself some silence and some really, really, really killer training. And I will say that, Sarah, I know you, I'd only taken one of your classes before when you came to New York to teach, and I love that. And I know you a little bit socially beyond that, and yet to be with you in this training for this week, this immersion, it's like I saw you in a different way step in and hold this space for us. And I just was personally so humbled, because your knowledge of yoga, I hate to say impressive because that sounds so, I don't know, patriarchal or like hierarchical. That's not where I'm going. And I could surrender into your knowledge and into your practice because it's so thorough and with such integrity. And to see you transform as the teacher of this course, as all great teachers do when they stand before the room, you know, they step into a different version of themselves. It was so comforting and helpful in so many ways. So thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Receiving that. And Michelle, how about you? Now, you're also a mom. And so how has, have these shifts impacted your work with women and also your mothering, your home life?
A big thing that happened out there was that in all of the quiet, I just started downloading all of this like intuitive information and basically started writing a book when I was there, which was not expected. I didn't think I was going to write a book. It just started to like come out of me, and in all of the meditations, I would have to like stop and write down stuff that was coming faster than I could write. And I know we weren't supposed to actually write during meditation, but it was just like moving through me.
It was a mystic rebel gathering.
It was so magical. And I left with like the first couple chapters of my book and an entire outline. And so that's happening, which is huge, and I'm immersed in that right now, and so that's definitely calling me to go a lot deeper into my own work and my understanding of myself and what I'm doing. So that was a huge gift and shift. And in term, yeah, like it really, I loved the structure of it, how you gave us space to practice on our own. Like you would time it so we were all practicing together, but on our own. And I really carried that practice home. I feel like my home practice actually got a lot more solid from that training, which is great. And my meditation practice, like it really has stayed with me. And as a mom, I have an almost 9-year-old daughter. She's going to turn 9 next month. And I think it's just always for me reminding myself the importance to be this model for our girls. That's really where it comes from, and shifting the old paradigm and the old teachings that I was given through my mom and my upbringing of martyrdom and putting myself last. Like, my mom was the best at that and learned that really well. And so having to reteach myself in order to liberate myself and ultimately, hopefully, my daughter from that pattern. But I think the training was also a really good reminder. And again, just that potency of being in a community of women, deepening into that work and that conversation together is so impactful and critical and important, especially right now in this time. So all of that, I don't know if I fully answered your question, but it definitely impacted many aspects of my life and my being and my career.
And what do you all most want women who are thinking about joining the training, who might have that intuition, that heart calling, but then the ego is coming in with all of its objections? What do you most want women to know? Let's start with Jen.
That it's possible, you know. I mean, it's really possible to do this, to have this experience. And I have found that when I'm meant to be somewhere, my responsibility is to decide that I'm going to be there, and then get really curious to see how Providence is going to shape up to support that in happening. And I would say use it as an experiment to see how our decisions and our choices shape our reality, because it'd be really easy to choose to not go. And choosing not to go means nothing changes. Or maybe things will change, just not in the way that they would if you took the training. And I think it's curious when we make a decision on behalf of ourselves in such a way that may feel a little intimidating, to see how life rises to meet you or challenges you from following through. You know, after I had signed up, my life went on a little bit of a roller coaster in December, and forecasting where I was going to be in April felt like, oh my God, am I really going to be able to be in Northern California for this training? Because it feels like right now, like, life is throwing me some curveballs and I don't know where I'm going to be. And like I said, it was my Drissy, and I just came back to it and I was like, haha, of course I'll be there. You know, of course a life will let me go. But I thought it was really interesting to see how life made it possible for me to be there because I chose it, because I chose me, because I chose this training. So I would just say to women out there considering, play with it. Our life is multifaceted, and we do have free will. So our choice is it's the sail against the wind. And if this is where you want to go, raise the sail and let the wind carry you. You're really directing that. And to just understand that financial commitments are actually some of the most interesting to manifest and to allow, right? To allow the support to be there. Should it be in your highest calling? I think it's an interesting dance to make it a reality, but certainly so doable.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jen. How about you, Michelle? Things you want women to know?
Yeah, what's coming up for me is that you know, that's the core of the work and your message, I think, Sarah, to like listen to her, right? To go deep and peel back the layers so we can hear her. And when I got the call to go, it was her talking to me. She was telling me to go. And so I think if that call is loud, if there's that intuition, if you're hearing that voice, that nudge, that it's right for you, then listen and trust. Mm-hmm. Because there's magic in that. And for me, that's where all the good stuff happens. And it doesn't come without the ego getting in there and trying to, at least for me, talking me out of it, and money and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, what I try to practice falling back to is that initial call, that initial feeling of yes. Mm. And if that's there, then go. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you won't regret it. Like, seriously, it was such a good experience. Yeah. And in Thailand, which is amazing.
Yeah, Thailand is amazing. Is there anything else that either of you want to share as we close?
I want to echo Jen and just witnessing you, Sarah. I got a lot from just witnessing you holding space and leading that retreat, and a lot of respect and admiration for you as a leader, and just how gracefully you held it in this like quiet, compassionate, loving yet firm place. And I left just feeling like you are such an amazing role model for women to see how we can hold space without, at least from where I sat, it didn't look like you are overextending yourself or giving yourself in a way that was burdening you. You felt really mm-hmm. grounded and anchored in your truth and what you... And I just really felt that and witnessed it. So it was amazing to watch from that as well.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And that's, yeah, that's really what it's about. It's about finding our own sweet spot in our practice, in our lives, in our work, where we can just really feel grounded and rooted in ourselves in a way where we can offer what we know and what we love generously without it burning us out and mm-hmm. without feeling like we need to like bend ourselves in a pretzel to be a certain way for people. And
right.
Yeah, I want that.
And I think that's what so many women are. Yeah. I think it's what so many of us are struggling with as women. And so to see that mirrored back is huge.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And I really appreciate you both.
Sarah, Jen.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to add one other thing. Is that okay?
Yeah, please do.
The temple practices were so fun.
Mm-hmm.
The gathering mm-hmm. and the, you know, that was so unexpected in terms of the layering of the sensuality and the layering of just even the term temple practices in and of itself is intriguing. But to be there in the temple with the women while we're all in this really expanded, exalted, albeit challenging internal place was so fun. It was so fun. And to have fun as a part of a very serious yoga experience is so divinely mm-hmm. feminine. Yeah. And I so took that deeply, right, as part of the experience, that practicing from a divine feminine place is to reclaim our bodies, to reclaim our connection to our sensuality, to reclaim our connection to our affinity to one another in this very safe space, and to have ritual arts be a part of it. I mean, how freaking cool. That was one of my awesome. Most fun memories was were that as well.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's really embracing the whole spectrum.
Right.
Indeed.
I love it. Anything else before we bow out? Okay. Well, thank you both for taking the time and for answering the call and for being there and helping just your presence
really mattered in creating such a deep, nourishing experience for all of us, myself included. And I just really respect both of you as human beings and as sisters on the path and the work that you're doing in the world. So I'm just here supporting you and grateful for our connection.
You too, Sarah. Grateful and honored to be here and to support you and all the women you'll serve.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so many blessings to all of you women who are going to be signing up. It's going to be so fun. Oh, my God. Kusa Mui.
Great.
Such
Thank
a blessing.
You.
Thank you.
I always find it really helpful to hear from women on their own paths to wisdom. And this kind of authentic sharing lives at the heart of our She Yoga and Meditation Teacher Training. Because women travel to these trainings literally from around the world and afterwards often become good friends for life. Because we witness each woman go through a deep soul transformation. We usually arrive tired and needing rest and an infusion of insight and passion into any or all areas of our lives. And after spending a week in nature, silence, with deep practice and sisterhood, we feel a heart bond that keeps us wanting to connect in the months and even years to come. Our next She Yoga and Meditation Teacher Training is open for early registration right now, but just until July 21st. Until then, our early bird discount of $500 and a 6-part payment plan is available. And if some of what I shared today inspired you and you'd like support in healing and connecting to yourself, your practice, and your community in a distinctly feminine way, you can learn more at sheyogatraining.com. This is a 1-week retreat-like intensive with daily sessions in meditation, yin yoga, women's flow yoga, and women's circle practices. And we cover everything from alignment to subtle energy healing to philosophy to sensuality and sexuality to yoga for all stages of our cycles as women and leading other women through these very practices. Now, on the website I just mentioned, you'll find everything you need to know about the program, including our extensive FAQ and details about the venue and curriculum in Thailand. Plus, you'll hear what dozens and dozens of alumni of all ages and walks of life are saying about this training. Again, you can learn more at sheyogatraining.com. If it feels right for you, I would love to see you on Koh Samui this coming February. Until next time, I'm sending you my heartfelt support. And as always, thank you so much for being part of our sisterhood.